tuning in to episode 185 of the Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. And today's September 11th, 2012. And I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law. Joining us today, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
Yes, I am. Hello. I love this time of year because it's not really hot and it's not yet really cold. So I can drive with the top down and the AC off and not sweat my nuts off.
That is a good thing, Chris. It is a good thing. I'm sure none of us really wanted to hear about you sweating your nuts off, so we're thankful.
You never know. There might be one person out there who's going to give us a five-star review.
Yeah, JSS Lifelike, because he likes talking about sweaty knackers.
True. Also joining us, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Hello.
Awake, alive, all that good kind of stuff?
Yeah, I've actually been busy. I've made a new jingle for us for today's show, so hopefully...
Yes, you have. We'll plug it in the appropriate spot. And, you sound quite alert, happy.
Oh, yeah.
You don't think I'm going to let this go, Rich, do you?
What?
What?
I listened back. I think it was all edited in afterwards.
Well, it was I will just toot my own horn. A masterful job of editing up where the actual snoring incident behind the grassy knoll took place. Yeah, that was you, Rich. We have it on recording now.
That's all right.
It was good.
We're all human. I'm getting on a bit now. Anyway, I'm 41 now.
That's true. So, yeah. Well, I was also thinking. I believe when you record the show, aren't you almost like lying down in front of your laptop?
No, that was my last mistake. Was I actually took my laptop to bed, which is when I fell asleep during the Battlefield 3 conversation. But there's no chance of me going to sleep at the moment, as I've just had a fucking thing blow up at me in Minecraft. Anyway, carry on. Who else is here?
Okay. Mike Chin is also here.
Hello.
Mike. Hello, Mike. How are you today?
I'm okay.
You're okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fine. What's going on, Greg? Another week, another show, another episode of the Overseas Connection. We're here. We're queer. Get used to it. Oh, wait, that's the other podcast I do. Right.
Right. Well, I suppose we could just dive into games.
Games.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so games. Mr. Matthew, what have you been playing?
So I started off, I played a bit of Empire Total War, which is a real-time strategy game, because I've had the real-time strategy game itch lately. It's pretty cool in that the camera is in really tight to the units, and usually when you do that in an RTS, they look kind of crappy, but these actually look pretty decent. So I like the camera zooms way in and way out. It's pretty responsive. I've only played the first couple of missions so far, but I'm liking that. And also, I decided to take the dive, and I'm playing a little bit of Minecraft.
Ah! Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Minecraft.
You did?
Now, question.
Yeah.
Is this PC Minecraft, or is this Xbox Live Minecraft?
No, PC Minecraft.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
So the higher quality version, as in you've got a ton more stuff, but missing the community.
Yeah, kind of missing the community. But I tell you, the graphics on my particular version of Minecraft are amazing because it looks a lot like a chair that I just put together from IKEA. I haven't actually been playing Minecraft. I recently purchased my first piece of IKEA furniture and successfully assembled it, which I figure is close enough.
I think you just completely devastated Rich, because he was so excited for you to be playing Minecraft.
He was like, oh, someone else. Ah. Yeah, sorry, Rich. Sorry.
Yeah, no, IKEA Furniture is definitely a game in itself. You could almost call it a real-time strategy game as well, because sometimes you have to figure out which pieces to try to assemble first, because even though the instructions are there, they don't always seem to make the most sense.
Yeah. You could also call it a Kinect game.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Yeah, move on. I'm done.
All right, moving on. Rich, let's talk about some of the games you've been playing.
Yeah, not been too much, to be honest with you. Played some demos, really. I've bought the third episode of Walking Dead, but I've not had a chance to play it yet. Because I've got to wait till late at night to play that. And whenever it's late at night this week, I've been playing with my new toy. So, yeah, I've had to sideline it for now. Yes, so I played the demo.
What? Rich, I think for clarity's sake, we should probably tell people what the new toy is, because they're probably thinking it's a blow-up doll of some kind.
It is, in fact, a blow-up doll. A deluxe version. Yeah.
A deluxe version.
Top range, mate. Top range.
Yeah, top range. My wife bought it for me.
Synthetic hair?
Real synthetic hair. That, sticks to your forehead when you get sweater. But never mind. that's all a lie. I've been playing.
It doesn't really stick to your head, does it? Like, it doesn't really stick to your head when it gets right down. That's a lie. Sibs.
Washes right off.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, we'll move on.
Games.
Transformers, Fall of Cybertron.
Okay.
I've had to go on the demo for that. Having not been very impressed with the first one, much to Chris's chagrin, as I remember. I've tried the second one, and I think it's much improved. And I sat down and played both elements, because it's split into two parts. You get to play as a Bumblebee, and you also get to play as Star... What's that?
The Starscream?
Starscream, yeah, or somebody somebody's under Starscream. To do a mission for him. So it does give you quite an array of gameplay, so you get to see a couple of different characters and what attributes they've got, and the controlling I thought was very good, much improved, and it seemed a little bit more diverse than the first one, which was a lot of just corridors with people in to shoot, and that was it. This one seemed to have a bit more to it. It was making you go to certain areas and pull levers and, navigate through, and it was doing some fly-through missions and stuff like that. So that seemed quite good. So my son really enjoyed it. So I suspect this might be a pickup on the cheap, I think, later on.
Okay.
I was going to play the demo for this one this week, but they didn't have a demo on the PC, on the Steam store. So I'll have to check out the Xbox Live demo. I enjoyed the first one, as you mentioned, although when I was listening to Gamers with Jobs, they were kind of talking about it, and it sounded a lot like the first one, so I'd kind of decided to give it a pass, but maybe I'll give it another try.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
I didn't like the first Transformers. I thought that sucked balls.
Yeah, well, I'm same as you, Mike. I thought this one was like this one.
Three out of four of us did not like Transformers. Mm. There's only one of us in this room, this virtual room, that liked Transformers.
Mm.
Didn't like it at all. I thought it was so boring.
Well, I can say I did play a bit of the demo as well. It did seem like it had improved on some of the different things they did. The shooting felt even better, which I liked the shooting in the first Transformers. I think... I felt bored with it. The color palette was really horrible. Yeah. Everything just felt very monochrome.
A very pleasant experience.
Yeah. So this one at least had some improvements. The color palette still could be a bit of an issue. So, I mean, not that a color palette really should be a make or break thing for a game.
It certainly adds to it.
It adds to it. Yeah.
And it was just like you shooting metal things in a very metal-y place. Everything was metal. I was like,
yeah. I don't know. I will stick to my movies for Transformers.
I will stick to avoiding the franchise altogether because it's complete bollocks.
Don't hate, Mike. Don't hate. Rich, anyway, continue on, please. I'm sorry, we totally derailed your conversation.
Yeah, the only one, I, after you was talking about it last week, Greg, I went and tried out, Mark of Ninja.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
yeah,
fun.
On Xbox Live Arcade. Yeah, I really like that. That was good.
Yeah.
So, the illumination element of this is the key thing. And you might cast your mind back to a few weeks ago when I was raving about a little iPad game, a stealth one. Called, was it Jack Bomber Jack or something like that?
Okay.
Anyway, I can't remember the name of it, but it was really good. And this reminds me a lot of it. Obviously, it's a lot better and more polished because it's on the console. But, really enjoyed it. And love the stealth elements to it. And the combat as well. That was quite good. So,
don't
Mike, you played it as well, didn't you?
Don't you think it's super cool how, like, you can't really attack people, you have to be a ninja about it?
Yeah, you have to be stealthy to do it.
You can't just, like press X and hope for the best.
Yep.
You can kill the guards, or characters.
I was never successful.
It is difficult. You have to basically hit them first when they're not looking, and then be able to get up close on them again and hit them. It takes several strikes to kill a guard. And even then, usually they're not dead at first. You have to go up and do an execution move, which most of the time other guards come in on you and will take you out when you're trying to take out the other person. So, yeah, stealth killing is the way to go. Or avoidance.
Yeah, and it has
I love the whole kind of fog of war thing. You know, when you peek over an edge or you peek into a room and you can see the enemies and then you see, like, a bit of an outline. It's like the opposite of Splinter Cell, where the enemies last see you. You see that little, like, cell of yourself.
Although, ironically, it does have that last scene for your character. So I had an instance where I got spotted. And I jumped out of the way real fast, and I noticed they had, like, a ghost image of my character jumping over a ledge.
Well, they have it both ways, I guess. Though.
Yeah. So it was good stuff.
And it felt really good, and I just really liked it. You know, when you took out all the lights at the same time, where you can stop time with the left trigger, you know, attack a few lights, hit a gong all at the same time, and you feel like a ninja. You feel like you can escape very quickly. You kind of get the same feeling you get, you know, in Batman, where you feel like you're actually... like a stealthy ninja, and you can get away, and you feel like you're acrobatic and quick. You get the same feeling here. You know, you feel like you can escape any situation. Yeah. You're jumping off the walls like a real ninja.
I've got a question. Is this the same people that made Shank?
Yes.
Is it?
Same art style. Yes.
Yeah, because I could tell that.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
And I didn't like Shank.
Yes, it is.
I didn't like Shank, but I do like this.
Stu was saying to me, he's like, why can't you just, like, fire him and hack and slash him? I was like, well, you got Shank for that. Like, play Shank. Yeah. If that's what you want, play Shank.
Yeah,
why can't you do both? Because you're a ninja. So.
Yeah, I like the fact that it does have a lot of puzzle-y elements to it, where you have to figure out how to cut switches or cut electricity out and kind of solve a puzzle or a way to get through a room. Nothing feels overly difficult. Like, all the puzzles are all in front of you. They're all pretty solvable based, you know, kind of what you see. It doesn't seem like there's any, like, hidden tricks to doing something. But you have to think it through properly. And sometimes there's going to be time elements where you have to do it in a fast enough time because a guard might be coming back into the room. You know, one of those kind of instances, you know, something that you tripped before may reactivate type thing. And as you go through the game, and I don't know if either one of you bought it yet, I did pick it up, and so...
And what is it?
Progressed through it. It's 1,200 points,
why
$15.
Why was this a Summer of Arcade game? It's like much better than anything that came out.
I know. I thought the same thing.
And, like, I didn't like it, but Spelunky, that came out just before the Summer of Arcade, and everybody loved it. I mean, it wasn't for me, but... You got to,
you know,
some respect, and you just, why did you pick those games? Like, what's going on?
Part of me thinks when you see Summer of Arcade, what Microsoft has smartly done, and maybe to our end, kind of, you know, unfortunately done, is if you look at Summer of Arcade games, there's been I don't know, the first year it happened, there were a bunch of great games. And then there was one additional year where it felt like pretty much everything was a hit. But after that, it seems like there's one great game, usually the last one. There's one pretty good game. There's one game that kind of isn't all that. And then there might be, you know, the fourth game or fifth game into the mix. They, again, can be kind of good, maybe not great. And I think this, because Microsoft knows it's a big summer promotion and they have this kind of giveaway thing attached to it, this is the way they can help some of these other games that aren't necessarily going to do well on their own out. They plop them into the Summer of Arcade. It gets hyped up a lot. They're able to push the sales out on those games, and maybe they're not necessarily deserving of it. Certainly, Mark of the Ninja, much better game than anything that was on Summer of Arcade this year. Even last year, Crimson, God, I can't remember the name of it now. Crimson Red? The game they gave away free on the Summer of Arcade for buying all the other games was honestly better than, I think, most of the games in Summer of Arcade. Unfortunately, this wasn't part of Summer of Arcade. It would have been a surefire hit in Summer of Arcade, as is. People should, you know, at least give the demo a look, because it is a great game.
It is really good. Super impressed with it. And I didn't realize that it was made by the Shank people, but it makes sense now. When you watch the cutscenes, you're like, yeah. I never really fell in love with Shank. I thought I would, but I didn't. But this is a much better effort.
No. Thoroughly enjoying it so far.
So, you've bought it, Greg. How long have you been playing it?
I'd probably put about an hour into it.
Okay. And does it change it up?
The levels... It changes up in terms of some of the different kind of there's a couple different enemy types that I've come across. Nothing drastic so far, so in that regard it feels kind of same old as you progress through the levels. The level designs themselves are all pretty similar so far. What they do introduce is as you're going through, you can find hidden items and basically get upgrade points. And in every level you advance to, you're able to go into a kind of a shop and upgrade your skills. And, you know, so a skill may be you're able to hack or pick a lock faster. So getting through doors, there are certain doors that are going to be locked that you're going to have to hack or pick. And, you know, all it is holding down the B button, but there's a little time meter on it.
Yeah.
And usually when you're coming up against a locked door, there might be a guard nearby that if you haven't killed that guard, he's potentially going to spot you, you know, as you're picking the lock.
So it's like when you untie the hostages, like the...
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Same thing.
The same mechanic.
All right.
And so, you know, you can get that upgraded. You can buy additional weapons or tools that you have already gotten. So there's like darts, which are... You get darts all the time.
Oh, yeah.
In the game. But you can also get smoke grenades. You can get...
That's cool.
Spike traps. The spike traps are kind of cool because you throw down a spike trap, and then you maybe throw down a noisemaker. The guard walks over, basically walks over the spike trap and gets killed.
Yeah.
Other things like, I mean, they introduced the main things I've seen are like a shielded guard that now it was introduced a little later on in the game, and also dogs.
Dogs.
And the dogs have a far greater sense,
right.
You know, ability to sense around them. So
they go in the vents.
They can't go in the vents, but they certainly can sense you because they kind of smell you, so to speak. Just interesting stuff. I'm thoroughly loving the game. So much
really?
So that I decided to buy this instead of buying Walking Dead Episode 3.
Wow.
So. I have to get a few more Microsoft points before I can pick that
up. Yeah, that's my problem. I've got 600, so I can buy The Walking Dead, but I can't really afford this, so I need to top up on mine as well. Which the way that I do it is I keep buying Minecraft on the game website, and all
okay.
they do is they give you the equivalent points and an email code, because that's what I need, the email code, straight away, as soon as I buy it. And they just give you the points and the email code as soon as you press buy. And then I just download the points, and then I've got points to spend on whatever I want. So I've bought Minecraft about four times on game. Well,
can you give that away, Mike? If you're buying it, does it give you give you a code for it?
Yeah,
so
you
give
it
to
who
makes it.
Oh,
right.
No, it doesn't give you a code for Minecraft. It gives you a code for the equivalent of the points. So what Minecraft is 1600 points.
Oh,
so it gives you 600 points.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I get it. So you're quote unquote buying Minecraft, but really what you're buying is 1600 Microsoft points.
Yep.
And then you just apply it towards whatever you want.
Yep.
Got it. Well, another way, and not to, again, sorry, Rich, we totally jumped all over your what you've been playing, but I came across this deal, and I shared it on the Gate forums, but I figured I'll just bring it up right now. So the Microsoft Store, and I don't know if this is applying to overseas on your end, guys, so I apologize, but at least on the U.S. side, the U.S. Microsoft Store, for pre-ordering, and they have a bunch of games like Dishonored 3, Assassin's Creed 3, you know, Black Ops, Halo 4. Basically, if you pre-order any of these games, they're giving you a $10 credit coupon as well as 1,600 Microsoft points. So, okay. And that's just, you know, and free shipping on it.
Free shipping.
So it's a pretty good deal. Yeah. It's a 3 to 7 business day shipping on it. So, I mean, as long as you're not wanting the game day one, it's not a bad deal. And, you know, hey, it's a great way to get some points.
Hmm.
But again, I don't know if they're doing it on the international Microsoft Store side, but I know the U.S. Store side had it there as a promotion. And there's a link on the Gate forums in the general discussion, I believe. So it's, you know, again, just one other option to a store like an Amazon or something or game.
Sweet.
But anyway, Rich, anything else on your end? I'm sorry.
No, that's it. That's me done.
Okay. Mike, let's talk something other than Mark and the Ninja.
I played a little bit of Dogfight 1942.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I didn't play a lot of it, though, Greg. I didn't play a lot of it.
I didn't play a ton of it either. I thought it was, as far as, like, you know, arcadey, I won't call it a flight sim, because it's certainly not a flight sim.
It's an arcadey flight game.
Kind of Crimson Sky-ish, but using real planes. I thought it did a pretty good job. I liked that it had, like, a lock-on with the L2, so once you had your target, if you pull the L trigger, it kind of locks in on the plane you're going after, so it helps you kind of with the flying part of it.
I felt like the plane was a bit small, like your view of it. Don't you think that?
Yeah. It did feel like you were kind of pulled back, I guess, a little bit farther away, or the plane was just miniaturized down a little bit.
Yeah,
it didn't fill up the screen a lot.
Toy plane. It didn't. Yeah. I don't know. I would have felt a little bit better if you could see more of the plane. It's a very weird criticism, but it's just threw me off straight away. And like control of the plane feels very strange from that perspective.
Yeah, it also feels in that regard very arcadey when it comes to the controls. Like you're not able to do all the fancy barrel rolling right off the bat. I'm sure you can probably free up the controls and do a more advanced flight stick control, but the default controls were kind of the you know, flying for dummies controls. We're not going to let you get into too much trouble trying to fly your plane.
Mm.
The one thing that really threw me off in this game was pretty racist. I mean, I guess they were kind of going for the authentic.
Didn't have the sound on for it, so I didn't really.
Oh yeah. The line that like came out like almost off the bat, these Japs are gonna pay.
Oh yeah, that was in the cutscene, wasn't it? Because take that, you Japs. I was like, whoa. Yeah, I did see that bit.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure that probably was pretty authentic for the time, but it was still kind of jarring.
I mean, Japs isn't very directly offensive. I mean, but it's you still really shouldn't say it. But I suppose, you know, when you're fighting them, you can call them what you want. a bit of a weird one. That took me, but I do remember that, yeah. Yeah, but I wasn't really, I knew I wasn't going to buy it kind of pretty much as soon as I put it in.
I think for those really wanting a flight arcade kind of experience, this is probably one of the best out of the bunch. But outside of that, I don't see this being something that's going to really catch on, with the exception of kind of the diehard flight guys.
I think flight games have took a backseat this generation.
They have.
Yeah, they don't seem to have really, like, taken off. Ha! Oh, my God. Wow.
That's horrible. Wow. The only four have been with Ace Combat and Hawks. Those are really the only big.
Yeah, Hawks was, like, a big effort, wasn't it? Like, they really tried.
Sorry. Didn't the PC as well, they started some sort of free proper flight simulator thing, and they've just shut it down not long ago.
Microsoft Flight?
Yeah.
Has that been shut down now?
Yeah.
Yep.
Flying is just crap. No.
Apparently.
No, it's just, I don't think, I mean, it was, when it first came out, like, it was the bollocks, wasn't it? Like, I played Flight Sim a little bit and thought, oh, that's cool, and then got bored straight away. But for flight nerds, I mean, my mate is a kind of airplane nerd, but he just doesn't play them anymore. I think you play them once and you're done. Like, they're all the same.
I think they're in need of somebody has to come up with either a new novelty for it, or just really kind of recreate the wheel with it and make something that just has that, it captures that magic that the flight sim games used to have. I don't quite know what's missing, and Chris, you're probably the best one to talk about this since you enjoy those games the most.
Well, I think what's missing, well, it's not what's missing from the flight sims, it's what's been added to every other game. Consoles and PCs have advanced so far that there's a lot of realism in the first-person shooting and third-person action games. You know, the draw to flight sims and car racing games in previous generations was those were the ones that could look the most like real life because you were just moving large, you know, objects. You didn't have to have the details of how a person runs and how a person blinks and breathes. Being able to capture those things has made other games gain that realism, and that I think that's what's taken away from some of the flight games.
That's deep.
Okay.
That's deep.
Yeah. No. I like it. Insightful. Speaking of realism, Mike, Halo Wars, let's talk about it.
Yes, we are still flying the Halo Wars flag, Greg.
Yes.
We are still loving it. And it's still great. Few more people are into it now. Got a bit of a
clan. We are pulling everybody in slowly but surely.
So we got Dangerous.
Right.
Into
Play
it.
With Dangerous. Quite a good Halo Wars player. Mm-hmm. He was saying how he was crap. He schooled me within seconds.
He's a wrestler in real life.
Also a wrestler
he's
in real life.
He's a ringer, mate. That's what he is. He's a ringer. He's like, oh, yeah, he's a hustler. I'm no good, mate. I'm no good. Bang. So
funny story with Russ, because this is going to segue perfectly into the match you and I played, Mike.
Okay.
Danger Russ and I played the night before, and we played a co-op match, or a 2v2 multiplayer match against these two guys, and we look at their names, and we see 94 at the end of their names. And I can't remember their names specifically, their gamer tags, but 94 was at the end of both of them. And Russ and I are like, great, we're going to get beat by some kids. We play the match, and these guys bottlenecked us real fast. I mean, we got schooled. The next day, you and I ended up playing the exact same two guys again. This time, though, I was ready for it because I recognized their names, and I believe I told you kind of, you know, hey, we're going up against two guys who have been playing this game for 4 years. And the saving grace was we kind of knew some of the tactics they were going to use because I'd played them the night before. And
we almost got them, Greg.
We almost got them. Literally, this match, I think it took almost an hour, Mike, if I'm not mistaken. It was about an hour long.
2-on-2 took us almost an hour.
And we had these guys at one point. Like, at the brink. We were going after one of the teammates' bases and had the base, like, starting to go down, and he just was able to save it. But ironically, Mike, we rallied early because they took out my bases pretty quick, and they were hammering me, and you had found another base or found one of their bases and took one of their bases out, and they let it go. They didn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And I ended up going over, reestablishing my base, and it shifted the power back in our favor because I don't think they realized I had gone back over there.
It's a great game, isn't it? Halo Wars.
It is
so much fun.
Game.
Yeah, really
Chris, I would say if you're cringing or craving real time strategy, if you don't have Halo Wars still, you need to go back and pick it up.
I still have it. It's not in my. It's in Newport at my house. It's not in my temporary lodging during the week.
Well, tell the wife to throw it in the mail.
That would be foolish, Greg.
Maybe.
Well, so she mailed it to me tomorrow. It would get here Monday, right? But I'll be at my house on Friday.
Hmm. Okay. Well, then Friday, we're playing Halo Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Rich has it. Danger Russ has it. I'm telling you,
we've
got
it. You don't have
to
see your wife and child.
Yeah, I don't need to spend any time with them.
No. They'll understand, mate.
Totally.
We're going to play Halo Wars with people over the internet.
Actually, this is how awesome my wife is. A couple of weekends ago, I was visiting the house, and we had just put the boys to bed. And I was sitting on the couch reading, and she's like, you know, if you want to go dig out the Xbox and play a game, you know, that's okay. I was like, you're the best, but no, I'm all right.
I love you, honey.
That's a good wife, yes.
She's a keeper, mate. She's a keeper.
Yeah, at this point in time, I'm kind of committed.
You're pot attached to her, yeah?
Yep.
You are pot committed, Chris. You are pot committed.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, anything else?
Not really, no. No, I've finished Inversion.
We're talking about?
No, it's very generic, it's very average. It's a Gears of War ripoff, right, with this element of shifting gravity. And the story's garbage. However, there is a tiny little twist at the end with the story. The main kind of just gist of it is the main character is looking for his daughter. It's the whole thing's co-op. You're with this dude, and he's looking for his daughter. He's looking for his daughter, and I won't spoil it. But the twist at the end with the main character and the daughter, I thought was pretty cool. Like, it was actually a good twist. I was like shocked.
Okay.
In saying that, it doesn't have a lot of redeeming. It's very average. The start is so slow, and it's very slow to give you anything that's interesting. I mean, there's two different types of gravity in the game. You can either lift things up or smack them down on the ground and make everything heavy. And it takes forever for you to get both, and it gets really interesting towards the end. So the game gets better as it goes on. So I recommend... those sections in these games where you just walk and there's a lot of talking and things being played out in front of you type moments? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that at the start, and you just think, why put this now in the least most interesting bits? But if you stick with it, if you give it a couple of hours, it's not bad. It's not a bad game. Like, it's fun, like, and it's all co-op. I doubt there's ever going to be a sequel, and it's never going to win any award or anything like that. But it's not a bad effort. I actually like kind of. It's better than I made it out to be. But
maybe it'll get the "It's Better Than I Thought" award.
Yeah, it's better than I thought it would be. Awards. I think we should have one of those this year and think about what we could put. But yeah, it's still. I mean, look, I'm saying all this and it's still very average and it's still very Gears of War. But
right,
yeah, that's it. And I've finished that. It's about 6 hours long. If anybody was thinking about playing it, yeah.
Okay.
Done.
I'm sure, everybody is lining up at the stores as we speak.
Oh yeah, they're all there. Borderlands 2 has to wait.
Yes. Must wait. For me, we pretty much talked about everything. The only other thing on the list, Madden 13, but we talked about that enough in length last week that I don't want to put anybody else to sleep this week. So, yeah, I think we could probably talk about some new releases. Okay, so games this week. The Wii, yeah. I don't even think I need to bring this up anymore. Probably only bring it up if there's a game that comes out.
Yeah, I think
that's...
again. Are we officially killing the Wii?
I think Nintendo already did that. I don't think we are doing
When Nintendo hear that we don't feature it in the what's being released this week list, they're going to be worried. They're like, have you heard the Overseas Connection are not talking about us anymore?
They're going to freak out. I can say, on the 3DS and the DS, there is a Finding Nemo, Escape to Big Blue. I'm sure this is probably in conjunction with the re-release of Finding Nemo in 3D, for those of you that care. PS3 retail shelves, Battlefield 3 Premium Edition. That was really difficult for me to say. Apparently, this used to be $69.99, but they're re-releasing it at $59.99. So there you have it. $10 discount for this game. It's now on the retail shelves, along with NHL 13, Tekken Tag Tournament 2, and PSN-wise, you've got Anomaly Warzone Earth, the Battlefield 3 Premium Edition, Double Dragon Neon, FIFA Street, La Pucelle Tactics, I think I said that right, I could be wrong, Max Payne 3, and Red Johnson's Chronicles, One Against All.
What the hell?
I don't know. On the minis front, I just have to say this for you, Mike. Ronnie O'Sullivan's Snooker!
Yay! Snooker! I'm getting the Vita now.
There's lots of demos out this week. Anomaly Warzone Earth, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, Double Dragon Neon, FIFA Soccer 13, F1 2012, and Red Johnson's Chronicles One Against All. Some DLC this week for the PS Triple. You've got Ghost Recon Future Soldier, Raven Strike, and Quantum Conundrum. Ike Arumba.
Ike Arumba. What made your boy a Vita, Mike? Ronnie O'Sullivan's Snooker.
Yes, because it also on the Vita in the minis store. In fact, that's the only thing coming out to the Vita this week. Moving over to the Xbox 360, Battlefield 3 Premium Edition, NBA Baller Beats, which I believe is the game you play with an actual basketball.
Is it really?
yeah, but it's a Kinect game that you play with the basketball. NHL 13 and Tekken Tag Tournament 2. Xbox Live Arcade this week, you've got Double Dragon Neon, Ghost Recon Future Soldier Raven Strike, Joe Danger 2 the Movie, Red Johnson Chronicles One Against All. Demos, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, Double Dragon Neon, FIFA Soccer 2013, and F1 2012. Can you tell I'm having a difficult time with this? Red Johnson's Chronicle, One Against All, and DLC front, Battlefield 3 Armored Kill, and Quantum Conundrum, Ike Garumba. Yeah, so I think that pretty much does it for the new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, news quiz time. Bit of a slow day on the news front, but we do have a few things here. Mr. Matthew, you up for the first challenge, question, whatever you want to call it? Simple yes will suffice.
Chris.
Of course, if I had bothered to read Chris's Skype message to me, Mike, it would have said, need to fetch a drink, back in a moment. These are those key things sometimes I miss.
Yeah, but Greg, that was about 20 minutes ago.
Also, maybe it was a big drink?
And also, it was last week, 20 minutes ago.
Damn it. All right, well, Mike, you're going to field the first question.
All right, no.
This really was a question for Chris. You know what? I'll come back to it. Mike, name the number two game in the top 10 UK software sales. Thank you for that, Mr. Matthew. You'll have to wait just a moment, because Mike is about to tell us what the number two game in the UK top 10 was this past week. Is it A, Sleeping Dogs, B, The Sims 3 Supernatural, or C, Lego Batman 2 DC Super Heroes?
Can you give me the options again? Sorry, Greg. I was listening.
Sleeping Dogs.
Right.
The Sims 3 Supernatural. Or Lego Batman 2 DC Super Heroes.
I'm going to go Lego Batman, because I think Sleeping Dogs is one.
Well, you are right with Sleeping Dogs being one, but you are wrong about number two. It was The Sims 3 Supernatural. New Super Mario Bros. 2 came in number three. London 2012, the official video game of the Olympics, apparently still selling quite well at number four. Lego Batman 2 DC Super Heroes came at five, Mike. And Guild Wars 2 sees a spot at number six. Which, by the way, if you ask Mr. Conger, it is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Madden NFL 13 amazingly gets a spot on the UK top 10 at number 7. Dead Island Game of the Year Edition came at number 8. Darksiders at number 9. and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 came in at number 10.
Yeah, Madden doing pretty well in the UK.
Yeah, not too bad.
Tell you what, I had fun with Madden when I played Madden once. I played it with Tara, and we both had no idea what was going on. So we had a blast. Like, I was like, I have no idea of any of the rules. What is going on?
Just do what you want.
Yeah, and we just found it hilarious.
All right, Mr. Matthew, the NPDs also came out last week. What game took the U.S.'s top spot for August? Was it A, Sleeping Dogs, B, Darksiders 2, or C, Kingdom Hearts 3D?
Darksiders 2.
Excellent choice, yes. Darksiders 2 came at number 1. New Super Mario Bros. Number 2 came at number 2. And Kingdom Hearts 3D came in at number 3. NCAA Football 13 came in at number 4. Lego Batman 2 DC Super Heroes 5. Sleeping Dogs came at number 6 in the U.S. Transformers Fall of Cybertron came at number 7. Batman Arkham City came at number 8. Call of Duty Black Ops came at number 9.
Surprised me that Darksiders 2 has done better than Sleeping Dogs in America.
I know. Well, and it flip-flopped in the UK. It's kind of...
Yeah, well, there hasn't been that many adverts for Darksiders around here. Sleeping Dogs is a bit everywhere, though. Well, it used to be. I think it's more Borderlands now, but Sleeping Dogs was everywhere.
Well, finishing it out, number 10 was The Amazing Spider-Man.
No.
They did go over the hardware stuff, but honestly... It's all pretty bad. I mean, there wasn't any terribly great gains from anybody, and a lot of the companies now are not wanting to report anything because their numbers look so bad. The only company that really, you know, was touting something was, you know, the Xbox 360 because
it's winning.
It managed to win again for the month, but winning is subjective because they're down over 35%. So. Is that really winning?
They're winning in a very, very quiet period where, this Christmas is going to be the last boost of let's get these consoles out there, let's knock them down, let's get some bundles together. This is going to be the last push for the console. So, yeah, they're winning a kind of easy battle.
Well, speaking of Microsoft, Rich, what cloud gaming service did Microsoft announce a partnership with this past week? Is it A, Gaikai, B, OnLive, or C, Agawi?
Not read anything about this. I'll do a prediction then, based on what happened a couple of weeks ago. Was it OnLive?
No.
Oh, must be.
So Microsoft is teaming up with Agawi. Yeah. So Agawi is kind of a little unknown online gaming service company, but very much in the same kind of mold as a Gaikai. They're much more prevalent in the social and web-based and mobile space right now. But their big plan right now is to have a large selection of AAA games available in the coming months for all Windows 8 devices. With no additional work required by developers. So I think this is going to be the big push for Microsoft with their cloud system, is basically develop for one platform and we can push it to all of our devices. So most assuredly we now know cloud gaming, it's coming. I don't know how quickly they're going to try and push this on us all, but...
I hope they do it the way PlayStation Plus did it. Or is doing it now, where you just subscribe and you get access to a library of stuff.
Well, this is kind of my thought with, we know Microsoft is going for this real connected Windows 8 experience. You know, the tablets, Windows 8, OS, and Windows 8 mobile phones all basically are going to have the same look and feel. Almost assuredly, the Xbox 720 or whatever you want to call it is going to also have, again, that connected feel. And my guess is Xbox Live is going to take a new kind of form with the next launch. And with that service, this Agawi system is probably going to be on the backside, helping push out games that you buy on one platform and are able to access it on multiple devices. It's the direction, at least social gaming and for sure mobile gaming is going. And I think from a developer standpoint, it's a huge win because, you know, I know a lot of people were saying, well, Sony tried doing this, you know, buy your game on this platform and we'll give it to you for free on the Vita. But that really didn't work too well because you still have to develop for two different devices.
But you have to convince a developer to make two games and one won't make any money.
Right. But if you can tell a developer, hey, make one game and we're going to make it available to be bought on any one of these systems.
And they can get paid on. They can get paid outright, and then they could also have a bonus on kind of how much they get per play or something, or hour per play. Or, you know, there's.
It's a really unique ecosystem, and so again, clearly it's the way mobile's going. I think it's the way PC gaming is also headed, and you know, consoles are going to get taken along for this ride.
I'd be happy with that though, like a subscription. And then you just have an access of library, like this has been added, like Netflix or whatever. You just like, this is...
I mean, I have no doubts it's going to be like, kind of like with PSN Plus. You know, you subscribe to PSN Plus, you get all these free games, but you have to stay with PSN Plus to still access them. My guess is Xbox Live is going to be the same way. You subscribe to Xbox Live, then anything you buy on Xbox Live, at least arcade-wise, you can access it on your PC, you can access it on your phone, your tablet, blah, blah, blah. You just have to be an active Xbox Live member. And that'll be their hook. That's speculation, of course, but it seems pretty logical.
Seems legit to me.
Alright, Mr. Matthew, we're going to circle back around to you because real-time strategy, this was all about you. What news came regarding Command & Conquer 2, Command & Conquer Generals 2? Is it A, it's now a pay-to-play game? Is it B, it now has a single-player element? Or C, it has been delayed to an unknown date? What do you think?
I'm going to go pay-to-play. Pay-to-play. Pay-to-play.
Well, the good news is that is not the case. Still going to be free-to-play. Also good news. Yep, it's going to now have single-player. Apparently enough people like flew off the handle at the thought that this game would not have a single-player. Yeah, so it now will have a single-player element added in.
To be honest, there's no way they would sell any copies of Command & Conquer Generals 2 if it didn't have a single-player campaign.
Yeah. So...
the StarCraft have a single-player campaign?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. Yes. I mean, in so many ways, it absolutely replicates the same kind of experience you have in multiplayer. It's just you have the cutscenes in between, but the gameplay itself is all the same. You build bases, you know.
I imagine those cutscenes are very cool, though.
StarCraft, yes.
Blizzard, they do some awesome... I mean, I don't like World of Warcraft or anything, but I saw the trailer they did for the DLC.
Yep.
And it was like a panda fighting...
And
I was like, what the fuck? This is amazing.
In fact, they advertised last night on Monday Night Football, and at first I saw this, you know, this awesome CGI graphic scene. I was like, what is this?
Yeah, I thought it was like a
Warcraft.
I thought it was like a Pixar film or something. It was amazing.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked good.
I was back on Halo Wars. Halo Wars' single-player campaign is phenomenal. I love that. Love that.
Yeah, they also had great cutscenes.
They did, yeah. They had some of the best cutscenes I've seen in Halo ever.
Yes.
Which is why I'm in favour of sometimes changing developers, because that was made by, not Ensemble, but those CGI cutscenes was made by, like, and they was outsourced to a different company, and they were just phenomenal. Like, they must have been Halo fans, because it was great. So
they were pre-rendered, right? The ones from the
other Halo. They were. Right. But,
They did look amazing.
They still need, you know, art like and direction and delivery and
It was all top of those cutscenes. The reason they look so much better is because they're pre-rendered.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Probably actually takes longer to do than to do it in engine.
Maybe.
I would think yes.
Yeah, because you have to. Yeah, you have to point the camera at everything. Yeah, you can't manipulate things in real time, I suppose. Yes.
Well, last question for the quiz, Mr. Primrose.
Mm-hmm.
So, final specs for the Wii U. Basically, leaked out final specs. So, here's my question to you. What is the final internal memory size that applications can use for the Wii U? Is it A, 512 megabytes, B, 1 gigabyte of RAM, or C, 1.5 gigabytes of RAM?
I think it's more or less comparable to an Xbox, isn't it? So we'll go with 512.
Well, it's actually a step above.
Would you?
A full gig of RAM.
One,
the Wii U. Yeah.
One whole giga bigger.
So the leaked official specs, so to speak, if you will, the CPU, it's the Espresso CPU on the Wii U, and it has three enhanced Broadway cores. The GPU is a GPU 7 AMD Radeon-based high-definition GPU. It's able to do DirectX 10.1 and OpenGL 3.3 equivalent functionality, for those that know what that means.
Nope.
Memory. So it has actually two different memories in it. So memory one is 32 megabytes of RAM. I'm guessing that's for the operating system. And then memory two, which is what applications can use, is one full gig. And then storage, it's going to use an internal 8 gigabyte storage unit, and then basically flash memory, and then it's going to use SD cards.
Yeah,
so you can use up to 2 gigs on SD card, or the SDHC cards up to 32 gigabytes. And it has external USB connected hard drive, so you can connect up an external hard drive. It'll have Wi-Fi built in. Video outputs all the way up to 1080p. And,
wow, sounds like a modern console.
I know. Four USB 2.0 ports. So there you have it. Wii U. Maybe now it's impressive enough.
Well, it would have been, like, 6 years ago. Would have been a great console.
I kind of figured that was coming. All right, well, that is it for the news quiz. We're going to take our break, as usual, and then we'll come back from it. We've got community mailbag, question of the week, and community events, maybe a new jingle around that. So, yeah, let's take a break.
Do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to sing!
Lock your door! Watch out for 007!
Fight temptation forward. Domination.
I am a true spy, and I'm not your average guy. The simple fact that I can't die leaves evil men wondering why. They all continually try to force out my final goodbye. And while I never seem to sweat
information through flirtation, I have always most of the time, it ends bad.
I know your weakness.
They leave me stirred and shaken.
I'm sorry.
I leave them scantily clad.
It's your uniqueness.
I have my way with women.
I need you.
After I'm gone, I skip your town.
I'm so lonely.
As I get old, I'm thinking
I want you.
Do men like me settle down?
My one and only.
It never could be love. That's how it had to be. Her name reminds me of female anatomy.
Lock your
door.
Watch out
for
007.
Infiltration. Fascination.
Agents require a black tuxedo attire. License to kill won't expire. The only way we retire is when the studios hire someone different to admire. And yet I never seem to sweat. Tell me the whole plot. There is no way you can get caught. You seem to tie such a good knot. Just leave me here so I can rot. Forget the fact we ever fought. I'm thankful I haven't been shot. And have you ever seen me sweat?
Detonation, innovation.
I have a way with gadgets. All of the ones I can choose.
And it's magnetic.
I don't have any permanent.
if there were any doubt.
Nobody forgives.
Villains cannot be done until we all agree that they have used their one crazy deformity.
Lock your
door.
Watch out
for
007.
No vacation preparation.
I'm who to blame. I've got the fame. As you take aim, I'll give my name. Bond! James Bond.
Your mail! Check the mail, Pop.
Yep, check the mail, Pip.
Yep, any mail for us?
All right, so, community mailbag this week. The question of the week was... You know, basically with first-person shooters and RPGs kind of dominating this generation. And we know fighting games kind of made a little bit of a comeback, but then they faded back off. You know, what genre do you personally want to see come, you know, come back, have a strong comeback? You know, is it the RTS game? Is it the platformer game? Is it that flight sim game, Chris? Maybe that's the genre you want to see come back.
Maybe.
So, yeah, let's throw it around the table, and then we'll check out what the community had to say. Mike... What are you looking forward to? What's the genre you want to see have a comeback?
I think third-person cover-based shooters is a big one. I don't think we have enough of them. Sorry, what?
We want a genre that's actually going to make a comeback.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Not saturating the market.
I still want more Metroidvania-type games. I think, you know, we had Shadow Complex... And I thought, when I started playing Mark of the Ninja, that it was going to be one of those. But it's not really one of those. It's
kind of, but not, yeah. No, I hear you.
And that kind of... there was one recently. I can't think of it. But, you know, like, it's open world 2D, and you have to unlock things. It's Metroidvania.
You have the map, and you can kind of go around and backtrack a little bit and find stuff you missed.
I mean, Shadow Complex did it so well. And I just remember playing Shadow Complex. I was like, yeah, I want more of this. And when I played it, it was already kind of old then. But I was like, more people should be doing this. Like, this is a great, great take on 2D platforming games. So I still want more of those.
Metroidvania. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Matthew, what about you? What genre are you looking forward to seeing a comeback for?
Well, you actually read my mind. I would like to see a return to not... just flight simulators, but specifically space dogfighting and simulators is the wrong word, but more technical space dogfighting type games.
Okay. So Wing Commander-ish?
Wing Commander, X-Wing, TIE Fighter, yeah, those kind of things.
Okay. I could get into that.
I think I said the same thing a few weeks ago when someone asked about what game we wanted to see remade. So perhaps I'm repeating myself. Maybe I should just make the game.
I think that's what I'll start tomorrow. Maybe you'll have to pitch that game to us, Rick, Chris.
Ooh, spoiler.
Oh my god.
Rich, what about you? What kind of genre-based game are you looking forward to?
I'd love to see an update to the side-scrolling shooter type, bullet hell, malarkey ones. And I don't mean just arcade ones, like a high... I think Thingy got pretty close to it with some new ideas and stuff. That Cinemora... that was on the arcade not long ago. You know, things like R-Type that have been, and Salamander that have been revamped. Could do with one of them. And also, I'd like to see a really good co-op based group shooting game along the lines of, you know, I used to have Gauntlet and Alien Syndrome in the arcades.
I loved Gauntlet.
Top-down type thing, yeah. Something redone.
You just open the next room, there's like thousands of, not thousands, but there's, you know, about 20 bad, like little ghouls or ghosts or whatever they were, and they just float over to you, and you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you rode with that one, and, you know, the time's probably right for a console-based one that's a bit like Diablo, so get some elements of that, some loot in there and stuff, and, I think it'll be good.
Okay. For me, I think I've got a lot of hope that XCOM might help push this along, but turn-based strategy and maybe even more narrowed down, the squad system turn-based strategy games where you have a small squad of soldiers and it's turn-based strategy, I would love to see that kind of game kind of come back into the forefront. Things like Jagged Alliance and XCOM were favorites of mine back in the day, and they've just fallen off to the wayside. So I'm hoping XCOM UFO Defense really sparks something with the developers, and we see some more of those games come out. But that's it for us. What did the community have to say? Rich, let's take Gate first.
Yeah, so we had Steve Matic. He put, I've always been a fan of third-person action adventure games, so I'll say that. The genre isn't exactly floundering, but they're always some of my favourite games. Then we had Shinyverse. He says, whatever, Wing Commander, Heart of the Tiger, it's a space flight simulation fantasy RPG-ish sort of thing, and that's what he wants. Denver J, he replied to the Wing Commander one. Freaking love that game. Good RPGs. I need more RPGs. Not any of this pick one class of three and every five levels you'll get a skill. Crap, I want a real character design and leveling, and maybe it will be party based as well, so I get to build four or five characters for my party, not just some gender assigned figure with a sword fetish. And GamerGirl27 said, since I like RPGs and PPS, for the most part, I don't know, platformers probably. I used to play a hell of a lot of those back before the RPGs and FPSs invaded my gaming habits. And Denver, there's nothing wrong with a sword fetish. Lol. Yay. That's it. The email.
Okay. All right. What about the lag community, Mr. Matthew?
I had a few responses over there. Let's see. Ensign Dead Meat in his red shirt says, more adventure games with swinging, jumping, and puzzles, a la Tomb Raider, Prince of Persia, Enslaved, Odyssey to the West.
Yeah. I think he's going to get a nice handful of that this holiday with Tomb Raider, and Last of Us kind of strikes me as a bit of that.
Yeah, but that's not next-gen, Greg. Not next-gen.
True.
Just Pizza says, I'd like to see more real-time strategy games. I miss the days of when I was younger, don't we all? And played the Warcraft and Age of Empires series a lot. I did like the first Warcraft game. Actually, I think Warcraft 2 was the first one I ever played. That was awesome. Anyway, I used, the map was like a bitmap, and the little characters just had like only could face one of eight angles because they were all pictures. Anyway, whatever. Back to reality. And Sid says, yes, a great new real-time strategy for console would be amazing. Something like Civ 5 on the console would equal me not playing anything else for a very long time. Ellipsis, pausing. Yeah. Would also love if the next generation of consoles would come with a keyboard and mouse option for those who want to play real-time strategy games without dumbed-down controls. Further ellipsis, pausing. You just have to point out that Civilization V is not a real-time strategy game. It's a turn-based strategy game, although it is awesome.
Yes, it is awesome. And I would also like to point out Halo Wars.
Halo Wars!
Oh, yeah.
I thought Halo Wars was pretty good, but not... It wasn't the savior that everyone thought it was. The controls were still kind of...
The controls are not perfect, but as you play that game more and more, you definitely get good at the controls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I'll say you play it again with us, Chris. You should try it again.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it. I think Halo Wars was a great game.
All units.
The savior of the real-time strategy on consoles that...
No. Well, it wasn't because they didn't even come out, did they? So, that, there's no more after that, really.
I think, truthfully, you'll never get a good real-time strategy on a console until you go with either a keyboard and mouse or smart glass kind of technology that allows you to move around the screen faster.
Yep.
all units.
Local units.
That's just what you want to do, is move your whole army to one place.
I think that's probably the one thing I hate most about Halo Wars, is the fact that it's that same, like, every time you select all units or local units, it's the same voice, the same way, and you do it a lot, so constantly, especially if somebody's standing off just listening to you play, all they're hearing the entire time, all units, local units, all units, local units.
And the Conqueror's guilty of the same thing. It's like every time you click on Infantry Squad, you know, it's like, unit reporting.
Right.
Squad, yeah.
They have, like,
the thing
three,
is it, so, sorry. The thing is with Halo as well, because it's got such a great story, it would have been quite easy to slip in a character like, you know, the guy that's in Defense Grid, just so that when you have got that interaction with the computer, that you'd have a little bit of a character in there. Could have been a bit better.
Couldn't it always.
Anyway, any other responses, Chris?
That's it.
Okay. Well, I know we did have a tweet and an email, Rich. I don't think they're related, but certainly want to pass them along.
Well, Mike was doing that.
Sorry, Mike. God. Yeah, caffeine, it's a good thing, and I need more of it.
Hell of a drug. Hell of a drug. Yeah, so on the Twitters, Demo Jay said, at OT Podcast, it's all good. I barely fell asleep during Madden talk, but to be fair, I was at work at the time.
Yeah, I believe he. It was direct response to Mr. Skulldogger thanking everybody for the nice birthday wishes as well as sleep talk.
Yeah.
God, I've got a hell of a lot of tweets about that last week.
It was funny, that.
As you should have, Rich. As you should have.
Was funny. We got one email this week from Jay Shoemaker, and he talks about the people that have been sending in pictures of themselves finishing games, and I did one today, actually. I sent a picture of myself with the credits behind me of Inversion.
Were you in your clothing this time?
In my clothing. Yes. So, yeah. The email goes, hey guys, this week's victory achieved entrants are just Bo C, who finished L.A. Noir, Ken456, who finished Sleeping Dogs.
Can I help you out there? It's Kern456.
Sorry, Kern. The laptop's a little far away from me. Parsnip Nose 3000 finished Birds of Steel. What the hell is that? Barkanix finished Driver San Francisco. Good man. That's one I finished as well. Congratulations, everyone, and keep those entries coming. So for a little bit more information, if you finish a game, I think we're talking about this at the end, but I'll do it now. You finish a game, take a picture of you yourself with your face in it. It has to be your face, not your genitals, with the credits in the background, and then send a tweet to g4te.com, and dot is spelled out, D-O-T, and then include the name of the game, and then you get entered into the competition, and then you get a retweet as well.
There you go.
So, yeah, that's it. Done.
All right. So, question for next week. We came up with this little doozy, and I don't think we've gone this direct route, but hey, pitch us a game. We want you, the community, pitch us a game, make up your ideal game, and sell us on it. Might take a little bit of thought. You don't have to go into crazy, you know, ad campaigns or anything, but, you know, come up with a good game, you know, idea, pitch us it.
Pitch.
And, of course, we'll steal it. Pitch it. We'll steal it, and we'll sell it to somebody who can actually make a game, and we'll make a lot of money, and we'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, and we'll tell you how successful we was.
Exactly. All right, well, we did have a little bit of a contest. So we were giving away a Steam code for Defense Grid, and all you had to do was tweet the old OC podcast, your favorite PC game of all time, and you had to include the phrase pound OC giveaway into it, and we'd enter you into the contest and pick out a random winner. And so, with that said, here are the entrants, and then I'll tell you who won. So we had Phil Olson, also known as Phil Thee, sent favorite game, Gotta Be Eternal Darkness on the GameCube.
That was a fine game.
Yes, it was.
Love that.
Now, I, Pete, threw in my favorite PC game of all time is Sexy Beach 3. A winner right there, let me tell you. We also had Oasis 789 threw in Planescape Torment. And Pete Red Dog chimed in with Lunar Flight. And Gary DeFelice, also known as The Real Defoe over at LAG, said, my favorite game of all time is Unreal Tournament 2004. Thank God there was no way to track hours played back then. And Nick Nitrous, also known as Nicholas Abbott, he threw in, for me, it has to be Star Wars Rebellion Supremacy. I found it so addictive. And Cuddy75, also known as Gills Cudmore, threw in, I thought there was only one PC game, Football Manager. So, yeah, those were all the responses. Thank you to everybody for sending in responses. The winner, Mr. Gary DeFelice, The Real Defoe. So, Gary, I'll get your codes to you. So, enjoy Defense Grid. It is a fantastic game. And I'm sure you will become addicted, just like we were.
Oh, man, such a good game.
Yeah.
Such a good game.
All right, about this time, we talk about the old community events stuff.
Starsky's bored. Let's do this.
Chris, take it away.
We do. Minecraft. Apparently, server's getting a little slow, so get out there and get to digging. Put yourself together some virtual IKEA furniture. Why not? And the recurring Ghost Recon Future Soldier, 4 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. So get in there and put your active camouflage on and stab someone in the throat.
America.
Speaking of America, if you didn't get enough of saving New York from the nameless terrorists with Arabic/Russian accents, veteran gamers will be playing Modern Warfare 3, possibly, 3 question marks.
I'm not 100% sure on that.
Hey, Jen.
Sorry.
Duke's Gaff is always doing something on Sunday. Just look him up. He'll tell you what you should be playing. Now, Mike.
Yes.
Well, whatever you were saying, I was going to say, you can say
that
now.
I was just
saying,
I'm not 100% sure on the whole Modern Warfare thing.
Which is what I meant by the question marks, see?
That's good.
Of course, we've already mentioned it, but we'll mention it again. Finish a game, take a picture of your face, not anything below your face that might resemble inappropriate things to put on Twitter, and Twitter it to @g4te.com, spell out the dot. We are indeed forming up a Madden league, Madden 13, so check that out. And we're starting up the old Friday Night Racing going down. Yeah.
Yes.
Am I reading that correctly, that it's starting at 12 p.m. Pacific time?
Yes. So it is UK friendly, 8 p.m. BST or GMT. STD, whatever time.
Wow.
Well, in Soho, they do have a lot of that. Anyway, happy birthday to Spitfire Ian.
Happy birthday, Ian.
Yeah, dejected dogs bollocks, who apparently is turning 12. I don't think she's supposed to be on the site. Happy birthday, Quandrian. Stay in same old ground. Welcome to new members, ZTZ Boomer and Rag Dolly.
Rag Dolly. Bang. Sorry.
Yes. Public service announcement. We do like for members on the forums to check in now and again. So please make sure you check in now and again. That way I won't have to tell people that you're new, even though you're not. Just saying. Anyway, moving on.
Okay. Public service forum noted. I suppose we can just kind of start wrapping up the show, guys. We've talked long enough. If you're going to email the show, Chris, What would the email address be?
If I was going to email you the show, as in sending in a community spotlight or random gaming fact, if I was so inclined,
yes,
I would send that to ocpodcast@gmail.com.
I think that's an excellent, excellent idea just to do it, and certainly the right email address. Twitter, Rich, you can also talk to us on Twitter.
Yeah, OC_podcast.
Done. And, Mike, something you would never do, you could call the show.
Yes, you can call the show on 626-506-2763.
Yes, most notably, probably best to do if you live in the States or have
Skype.
A Skype account. Yeah. iTunes reviews, and I don't even know if they have Zune reviews anymore. So iTunes reviews, we want them, we need them. Please submit them if you haven't and you're new to the show and you like what we're doing, send us an iTunes review. If you don't like what we're doing, lie and give us 5 stars anyway.
Yep.
And then tell us in an email what we're doing wrong and we'll try and fix it. All right. That is about it. Let's do the pass around. So, Mr. Matthew, I think yours, maybe we're going to save you for last.
Okay.
So, Rich, go first.
Yeah, I'm just going to shout out Mr. R. Finch for letting me venture into his world and not telling me that he had all the zombies on what I'm sure must have been bloody expert mode, because there's tons of them. Yeah, and also, I'm going to shout out Christopher Matthew for providing me with the best material for our little jingle that we've got now for the community events thing, which you would have already heard, hopefully, if Greg's put it in.
We haven't heard it because we don't hear it during the show.
No, and that's it for me, I think.
Okay.
I'd say next we need to talk to Mike.
Alright, so I'm going to shout out Ralph Inch as well, because I schooled him in Halo Wars. Shout out Greg, who I've been playing with in Halo Wars, and also a friend of mine on my friends list I haven't spoken to for years, Lone Wolf. He's got such a high gamer score, it's unbelievable. And he sent me a random message about Inversion and says, oh, like, is that any good? Because I've got it. And then, we started just chatting again. We haven't chatted for years. And I just said, how do you find the time? And he texts back saying, I don't have a job. Leave me alone. and I thought that was funny. So he's a good lad. And I'm going to play Inversion with him on co-op. Because he's going to play Syndicate with me. Because I have Syndicate, but I have no one to play it with. So he says, if you play Inversion with me, I'll play Syndicate with you. Yeah. So I'll share it to him. Lone Wolf.
Okay.
Boom. Oh, yeah.
It's okay. I'll take the lead. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm going to shout out Josh Coleman, 94, and Sean Roberts, 94. You are the two bastards that have kicked my ass in Halo Wars the last 2 times, but let me tell you, my friends, we're coming for you.
We're
going to take you down.
Let's bring it on.
Yeah.
Me and you.
I know. We're going to bring it on. We almost took them down, and they honestly, you know, they said, hey, you guys are good for novices the first time we played them.
Yeah.
That last time, he was like, holy crap, could not believe it was you again.
Was that all verbal then, or via messages?
Texting back and forth.
Yeah.
Because I really didn't want to know if they really were 14 years old
yeah,
and kicked my ass.
That would depress me.
That would depress
me,
too.
It's 1994.
Yeah, Sean Roberts, 94.
About the same age as my nephew.
Coleman. 94.
About 17,
18. Yeah, they're 18.
But they've been playing it for 4 years. So 4 years, I have to think this is not like their birth year. It's got to be
incredible, really, because the game's only been out for 3.
I wonder if they're developers, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe they just, I mean, they could be.
Maybe he's just said they've been playing it for 4 years, thinking since it came out, and didn't realize.
Yeah.
Plus, they've only been
more
playing for 4 days.
They did.
Probably. I do want to shout out Extra Life. I'm starting to ramp up my push now, so you're going to start hearing about Extra Life a lot from me.
Are you going to do a video again, Greg?
I'll probably do some like video highlights. I don't know that I'm going to just go through a straight video, you know, like I did that one time I tried to do it where I literally tried to record every waking moment. That didn't work out well.
What day is it? Again.
I want to say it's October 20th, if I'm not mistaken. It's a Saturday-Sunday combo. I'll tell you in half a second here. Yes, the 20th and 21st of October. So 24 hours of gaming.
I'm on to that issue.
Well, you are welcome to join. We have the VG Hub team going. So if you want in, Rich,
yep,
sign up. Let Mr. JSS Lifelike Steve Conger know you want in for sure on the VG Hub team, but I think you can just sign up to it as is. You just find the team on the Extra Life site. But regardless, it's happening. It's a good cause. You know, I already have one donation from you, Mr. Matthew. I really appreciate that. It kick-started me off nicely, and so I'm now excited to start the push. And it's a good cause, so I won't say any more at the moment, and I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Matthew, who I think has an equally special message.
I don't want to get sentimental, but today is the anniversary of September 11th, and I really just want to, you know, soldiers get shouts out twice a year on Memorial Day and Veterans Day, so I want to first give a shout out to firemen, policemen, emergency medical technicians. These are the people that run towards the chaos when everyone else is running for their lives. So shout out to them. And then I want to recognize some of the cadets that I saw running around West Point today. They thought of some very innovative ways to commemorate September 11th. One group, starting at Reveille, which is when they fire the cannon and raise the flag up the flagpole, started a relay race where they carried an American flag around the post, handing it off every 30 minutes, running, and handed the flag off every 30 minutes to someone else. And they kept that going all the way to retreat, which is when they fire and bring the flag down 12 hours later. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then and then another group went over to the gymnasium, and as a group, their challenge was to climb a total of 2,700 feet of rope, which is the height of the two towers together. So as a group, they climbed a total of 2,700 feet of rope, and I thought that was a pretty innovative way to commemorate today. So well done to them. And that's what I have.
Excellent. Well, on that note, we're done. Did I tell you guys about – okay, so I'm not going to say what I was originally going to say. I'm just going to tell you a story. So kind of like last week, I just got out of the shower, and my friggin' wife, like, notoriously just – I don't know how it happens, but she has long hair, and I find her hair everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I can attest to this problem.
And I'm like – so I feel a hair on my back, and I'm like – God damn it. You know, it's like one of those things where it's annoying, right? So I'm like, you know, kind of finishing drying off, and suddenly, like, that hair is going up my back. I swipe with my hand on my back, and I had, I kid you not, a 2-inch round brown spider on my back.
Oh, nice.
I don't know how the hell it must have crawled up into the towels, and I, you know, just didn't bother to shake the towel out. I just don't think about things like that. But, yeah, I mean, I practically threw up at the sight of the spider. It's just like, that was on me.
I hate spiders.
Ugh. I know. I hate spiders, too. If I had seen that thing on my back, I think I would have started screaming and running around the room like a little girl.
But today, yeah. Funny enough, today, I had in the mail a fly swatter, electric fly swatter, which basically looks like a tennis racket, but it's electric. And
nice.
You
why does it need to be electric?
So it kills the fly.
Boogie, woogie, woogie, woogie.
But wouldn't you kill the fly by swatting it?
No, it's not like a swatter like that you smack against the wall. Like, say it's flying around, you hit it with the racket, and it'll just stick to the racket, and it'll go, dead.
He's electrocuted it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put a charge for it. Wicked.
£3.
£3.
But the thing is, now I've got it, because there's a fly in the room I'm sitting in now, and it's pissing me off. And now I've got this racket, like, they've all fucked off. All the boys have got that. Have you heard? Chinny's got one of them racket things. We can't go in there tonight. We've got to go to the Smiths. Tis true.
Because it's not America.
I can drive, like, an hour and be in a different country.
This is a whole other country. I think it takes me 5 hours to get to Canada, which doesn't really count, because that's like America light.
It's like America's hat.
Yes.
God, I heard that one in a while.
52nd state.
That's a fucking Catch Mercenaries diss, that was, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know where I stole that from. I don't think it was Catch Mercenaries. I think I heard it before there. I stole it from somewhere. Nothing I say is original.
Okay.
I'm the biggest crook you know.
Double check, make sure we're recording. The hell was that?
There's nobody in my house.
Except, here we go.
Except for me, Raw Finch, and the Kinect Ghost.
All right, so we're going to talk games. Mr. Matthew, I don't know what's been going on in your life outside of building an IKEA chair.
Oh, you ruined it, Greg. You ruined it. We have to start this segment over because I had a great joke.
I'm sorry. Do you really need to start it over?
Yes.
Here we're starting it over. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Real are for old people.
Some talk about
RPGs. Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
And of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, VGHub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.